CITR 101.9
FM. 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 CITR, Voices of UBC.
Listen, radio is an important means of communicating 3,000 years of habit in terms of diapering of babies.
Well, please tell me more.
Because radio reaches people, including those hard-to-get young people. Radio goes where they go and talks their language, recognizing the importance of contemporary sound.
And the sounds are instantly recognizable as belonging to the in-groups currently on top of the charts.
CITR, 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
It's wild.
Bands on the bands, what's the plan on the weekend? Shawty got a man, but my plans in the leading. Throw another grand if you think it's still even. Call an ambulance if you see I'm still geeking.
Burning through this bread like a brand new toaster. Burning through this bread while we sniff out these posers. Burning to the ground like a controlled fire. Burning through this bread with my financial advisor.
I ain't no people pleaser. I'm not spinning at your party in Ibiza. 13-hour flight for some VCs who don't pleasure. Yes, we all know those be the demons. CO2s, VOCs, tell me what I'm breathing.
Hey sisters, tell me now if you think I'm tweaking. Still adjusting to the time, filling all four seasons. Burning through this bread like a brand new toaster. Burning through this bread while we sniff out these posers. Burning to the ground like a controlled fire. Burning through this bread with my financial advisor.
Never had a friend be as friendly as Benji. Can't wipe out the grid at the scene where my ends meet.
Jumping out the gym, I put gems in my wrist piece.
I won't drop the gems till I feel like you're listening.
Yeah, loaded tip, send what they want to spit. I'm against them bold and crisp. Respect, but they know I'm West. They ain't coming to see you, Otis. You can tell they want the best.
You ain't never gonna see my motors. You ain't never gonna beat my motor. You ain't never gonna reach my opus. But for trying to show respect, you don't really wanna eat that smoke up. Gonna die if you hold your breath. No time to get no roll up. That fire don't need a roll up. I thank God he linked the bros up. Every time I hold that shit.
Bands over bands, what's the plan on the weekend? Shawty got a man, but my plans in the leaning. Throw another grand if you think it's still even. Call an ambulance if you see I'm still geeking.
Hey sisters, tell me now if you think I'm tweaking. Still adjusting to the time, feeling all four seasons. Burning through the spread like a brand new toaster. Burning through the spread while we sniff out these posers. Burning to the ground like a controlled fire. Burning through the spread with my financial advisor.
You're here with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR.ca. I'm your host, Issa Arian, and for the next hour, you'll be here with me going down my path. Now, we are broadcasting from the unceded Musqueam, Tsleil-Waututh, Squamish Nation's territory here from the most western part of the lower mainland here from UBC's campus here right in CITR. Listen, we got a full house today. We got a lot going on. We got a lot of people in here. Listen, if you've never tuned into the show, you're in for a treat. What we like to do here is we talk about what's going on here in the lower mainland, what's going on here in, you know, lower earth, what's going on here. Sometimes, you know, we get into the stratosphere, you know, the iconosphere. You know, sometimes we go deep into the galaxy. You know, sometimes we, and then sometimes we turn it internally, you know what I mean? And go, you know, from terrestrial to, I don't know what you say, you know, maybe subatomic, you know what I mean? We kind of go deep, just as deep as we are in the woods. You know, it's, we're getting ready for the holiday season. So listen, if you'd like to, if you listen to the radio show, you like my voice and you're like, you know what? I wonder what Issa looks like in person. You know, you listen, you can come out, next Tuesday. I will be performing at Little Mountain Gallery at 7:30. You're welcome to come through and check out me and my improv team, False Creek Fools. It'll be a good time. It'll be a good time. And you know, I have a packed, kind of a packed show for us this week. But before we jump into that, just kind of, you know, just kind of, I just want to just kind of ride out the feeling where I'm at, you know, kind of as I head into the holiday season. For me, I'm very fortunate that the Friday the 13th is really my last day of work until the new year. So I know not everybody's fortunate like that, but so unfortunately, next Tuesday, I won't be on the radio. The following Tuesday, I won't be on the radio. The following Tuesday, I won't be on the radio. So listen, if you listen to, if you tuned in and you are driving in your car on Tuesdays from 10 to 11 and you're like, you know what? I'd love Off the Beaten Path. I love just kind of just vibing out. Listen, I'll play, I'm going to play shows from Christmas season from throughout the years. So, you know, whether that could be 2016, it could be 2018, it might be a, you know, what did COVID look like in Christmas? You know, it'd be like a throwback Tuesday rather than a Thursday. But from you, I don't know about you, but at this point in the job, at this point in the year, I'm pretty, it's kind of wild as we, how we kind of think about our years really within two dates, right? We think about our birthday, you know, kind of as a date. And then we also think about our, you know, kind of New Year's as like another date where like, you know, where you just start to kind of reevaluate where you're at, what you want to be doing, kind of your goals. And, you know, people set their own, you know, New Year's resolutions, whether that be, or they set intentions on their birthday. And, you know, shout out to my cousin, her birthday is last week, 40th is a big deal. So, you know, I was really inspired by her because I feel like having a December birthday is hard because you kind of have those kind of revelations two times in a row. You know, you have it like, you know, one week and you have another back to back. Fortunately for me, it's like every 6 months I get to reevaluate how far I haven't come. And, you know, it is quite interesting. You know what I mean? When you kind of look, because for me, you know, I just had one of those days, really one of those weeks. And I feel like as you kind of get to the end of the year, I feel like I'm not the only one where you're just like, oh man, is this it? You know, is this life? And is this my job? You know, is this going to be it forever? And I feel like, you know, when you start to have those questions, the answer's no. But sometimes you got to figure out, you know, where exactly it is that you want to go. And that's kind of what I'm feeling. I don't know if you can tell, but today was one of those rough work days where, you know, you just kind of get over it. And I think that is hard, especially for myself. I don't know, I can't speak for you all, but it's like, you know, you work, you work pretty hard. Like, I feel like school is probably still the hardest thing I've ever done, you know, like that, like continuing school, grad school, undergraduate school is still the hardest thing I've ever done. And as I look, you know, it's fun doing the show from UBC's campus because you can see, you know, people who, you know, kind of still within the, you know, the air and the atmosphere of possibilities. And when I mean school is the hardest thing I've ever done, I feel like work is actually hard to suffer through. Like, school is hard to do, just because there's so many avenues that you want to take, and with your life, like with school, it's like you're in a direction, you're working towards a direction, but school, but your life, you're like, you can go so many ways. One of those ways is you can just go sit outside and exist. And it might be, you know, it'd be very tough, but, nothing is worse than getting, tapped on the wrist because you're, because you're talking about the Olive Garden. Now, it's just, I think I've talked about this for weeks and weeks and weeks, but man, I'm over talking about brands. Like, and I think that is like, it's very interesting because I always say it's very interesting when I really mean something else that I want to keep myself from getting in trouble, because the last thing I want to do is, you know, get fired for doing a community radio station, because what I like doing here is I like sharing myself with the community, bringing up the news. And listen, and we will get to the news, because I am sure that if you listen to this radio show, there's hot topics we got to talk about. Like there's somebody else who is more fed up than I am. You know, and also, you know, while the conspiracy theorist in me really doesn't really believe the narrative that is going on about my man Luigi. Hey, listen, but we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But yeah, so like, listen, you could be fed up. And one of the things is that, like, you know, there are some people out here making shit happen. So just when you feel like, you know, and this is for me talking to myself, when you feel like, you know, you get a little bit down and you start to think, just remember that there are people making shit happen. And for you to be one of those people, all you got to do is step up. You know, but as we get to the end of the year, I mean, it's also like Christmas season. A lot of people are broke, including myself. You listen, you buy Christmas gifts, you buying, you know, you kind of want to show out for the people that you care about. And, you know, you want to be able to provide them with things. Listen, don't go broke. Don't go broke doing that. Those people will not understand, but also, you know, you got to live your life for yourself. You know, and whatever progeny that you are responsible for. But if you're not responsible for any progeny, listen, you got to make it happen for yourself. This show is sponsored by a very selfish Christmas season, if you could not tell, because I think in a season of giving, it's important to remember what you can do for others. But don't neglect yourself, because the holiday season can be a very lonely, and it's evidenced by some of the reports that have come through the CBC. So when we come back from this musical break, listen, I got a lot of new music. I have quite a few things I would like to talk about. Obviously, we're going to get to Luigi in the second half of the show, just because how can you not start off the week with talking about the man who popped the CEO? Why we are a sick society, and does that even, like, what does that even mean in 2025, you know, as we kind of go forward? But before that, we're going to talk about a little bit about what happened over the weekend here in Vancouver. Why I feel like we live in totally different universes, and how all these universes come to connect. Right after we play some sweet, I got a lot of new music. That was Toro y Moi with Smoke, and I got a few new songs that I'd like to share. Let's just kind of go with one that, you know, I've been feeling for the past few months. Let's go some Lupe Fiasco, Palaces. Stay tuned to Off the Beam Path. If you'd like to call in, the number is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. You know, you can call in and actually Tell about the worst Christmas gifts that you ever got. We'd love to hear about it. Let me get back.
My castle of sand, waiting on a battle sword, handled all in my hand. The war force is mortal with my door with demands, more important than the fortune that you poured in my pan. From freestyling to recording advance, can you please reinforce all my borders and bands? I should have put it towards some plans. Want a forest, gotta water some plants. Huh. Normally ignoring the branch is par for the course, but when you hold a culture, you can't. Can't parkour over a part. You gotta march forth over your art. And for your fans, when you corner, gotta shorten your stands. Lessen your tails, Philly shell, don't orbit a dance. You hit a bell, then report to the band, and do whatever that the chorus commands. And for the grand,
we've been talented all along. Liquid fortresses made of stone, we're just palaces made out of flesh and
to come. Lord, please bless my mansion of cards. If ever challenged, let us camp in the car. Or hang a hammock from a branch in the park. A planet made of uninhabited parts. Being anonymous don't grant you some dark. Even astronomers keep a camera on Mars. Satellite to track where you are and see your blackest night attack it with sparks. Fireworks are not a match for a star, and fire hurts, burns, blackens, and scars. Can still emerge, learned, attractive, and charred from out the ashes of galactic barrage. Yeah, it gets savage where they traffic mirage. It ain't no magic, they in back of it, secret hatches and frauds. You gotta take it back to the start, you gotta tap and learn to rap from the heart. Yeah, yeah.
Talented all alone, liquid fortresses made of stone. Palaces made out of flesh and bone, waiting for our time to shine to come on.
Lord, please bless my palace of bones. My soul call my skeleton home. It's on the phone. Get a receiver back to Tyrone. We made a pact, nigga, I'm going back home. Yeah, pack my bag, stagger back to the zone. With a bag full of daggers I've thrown, I'm like my own masochist. Slash my wrist with a poem. And when I'm gone, don't tamper with a sample my songs unless you strong. Bicep emojis in the group chat. Five sets of burpees, don't disturb me if the booth black. I'm going through it, got a bunch of baggage on my roof rack. I have a lot of habits that produce that. They gon' put their tag on it. My condolences to the fast moments. Hope the solar system assists my slow emission and put some lag on it. Window to my soul peering inside the crib where my spirit resides. Lyrics are die.
Back at all the Beam Path here on 101.9 CITR.ca. I think before we jump into some more things that are going to, I feel like this is like the least joyful Christmas show probably I've ever done. Well, one is just because, you know, it's Christmas, right? So but it's the Christmas season, right? It's getting cold, even though it's not as cold as it should be, which somehow makes me angry. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that you think that, you know, Christmas season for me used to just be cold and snow, and you just kind of like, you know, just kind of think about that's how it should be. Even though I don't like the cold and the snow, but it not existing in the same way just makes me just a little bit angry. And not only just makes me angry, but it just makes me I keep thinking about what the future is going to look like and how we are all collectively impacted by global warming, you know, enjoying the nice weather that we have during the, you know, during the winter, during the quote unquote Christmas season when it's supposed to be snowing, feels like, yeah, it's nice to enjoy. But it's when a warm front comes in. For me, like, you know that this warm air, this warm wind is going to fucking crush you on the back end. And that's how I feel. Like, I feel like we are just kind of just waiting to be mollywopped. And yeah, and so that's my tones today. So oops. Anyways, one thing I wanted to call out, which I think that has been going out on my, you know, I've been talking about it with my mom yesterday, talked about it with my aunt, talked about my grandma, which is Nikki Giovanni dying. So if you don't know who Nikki Giovanni is, she was a poet, an author, an educator, a public speaker, an activist, you know, not just someone who spoke with such clarity and such power, but was a supreme intellectual that really helped to kind of shape my young mind when it comes to poetry and when it comes to what I'm supposed to give as a human to my people, like other, you know, to humanity, to lovers, to kind of just so much. And she passed away just a few days ago. She was 81. And if you get a chance to read some of her work or read some of her poems or go on YouTube and watch and just kind of just Google Nikki Giovanni and just watch kind of her speak about literally anything, you will be touched and also saddened by not just that we've lost someone of that magnitude, but it doesn't feel like as if we are replacing these giants that we lose with anybody of, you know, merit or the ability to withstand and the strength to stand up just like the ways in which she did. So I think that it is, you know, it's very important to not just you know, be thankful that these people existed, be thankful that Nikki Giovanni existed, but it is important and imperative that you kind of go back and you are constantly reminded that not only did these giants exist, but these people are human beings. And also, like I said earlier in the segment, like, you have the ability to kind of make the changes on and write with the type of power and fervor that you can to maximize your own abilities. And, you know, and use that as a force for good. Listen, and if you're on campus and you're listening to this show and you're like, oh, wow, I never really heard about Nikki Giovanni, please go look her up. And also, do not go into marketing. it's so depressing. It's so depressing. Like, when I think about the types of things that, you know, I feel like I think about the types of things that, we're all put on this earth to do. I almost guarantee that, listen, when I was created by whatever higher being, that what I'm doing right now is not what I was supposed to be doing. So should check it out. Anyways, you should constantly think about that. But also, you know, think about these when these people die, when these people, like these literary giants. And, you know, I think about the possibilities that they had for their own life, the possibilities that they had for others' lives, and kind of what carried them through, what they spoke about, what they spoke to. You know, it feels as if, you know, there's no single person that can really fill their shoes, and there's no person that can, but collectively as a humanity, we need to. To continue to move these things forward, because there are people who were against Nikki Giovanni for all 81 years of her life, and those people are still creating action and moving against the things that people like her spoke about. And so it's important for us to continue to fight and continue to move forward. Listen, we'll talk about the fight a little bit later. But one of the things that you're going to have to fight in 2025 is higher food prices, because food prices could jump up to 5%, researchers say. And I 100% feel like anytime I see food prices are going to jump 5% at in a CBC article, that it actually means food prices are going up 25%. Because I, one of the things that I have been doing over the past, really since my birthday, you know, because that's one of the that's one of those markers for me, which is really taking a hard look at prices for me, things and what am I spending on, where am I spending my money, what are things costing. And one of the things that I have noticed, which is that grocery prices went up last year in the middle of the, this year in the middle of the year, and then they've slowly gone back down. Because there's a few particular items that I buy every time I go to the grocery store, and you can just see when things go up and when things go down. And, this blanket 5% is bullshit. Like, I hate when they use this blanket because, I really love these hash browns. So I really love these hash browns. And in August, I went back in August, 20 hash browns cost $18, and normally they're 10, and right now they're back to $12. So they went up from 10 to 18, back to 12. Now, you know, the CBC would say, oh, well, these, you know, these hash browns have gone up 20%. But they totally ignore, you know, for the months that they went up to $18. You know what I mean? Like that. And also 20% on fucking potatoes is crazy. It's crazy. It's crazy. But food prices are rising due to inflation, really due to a weak loonie. You know, the Canadian peso is down and it's not getting any stronger. It doesn't feel like this is something that we are going to be able to look at as a short term. I think that, you know, we're going to have to make sure that you understand Canadian fiscal policy, and understand who you're voting for, what you're voting for, because some of the things and some of the decisions that I have seen, some of the things that people have said, conservatives and liberals alike, just feel like we are going to continue to get fucked. So, you know, be prepared that your rent is going to go up. I mean, that your food's going to go up. And then also, property taxes are going up 3.9% next year. So you can probably guess that your rent is also going up, right? So like, this is, so like when I think about these things, like this is how, particularly myself, but I'm sure everybody else can feel like, you can feel a constant squeeze. Like you feel like you can never actually get ahead. And that's, you know, what capitalism, to be honest, is, that's what it's for. It's, you are never supposed to be able to get ahead. So when, you know, property taxes go up 3.9%, you're listening to this show. Listen, you don't own a home. You're listening to this show, you're either driving in your car or you're at home, or you are, you know, maybe you're at work. And listen, you don't own a home. I don't own a home. Listen, not owning a home, there's nothing wrong with not owning a home. The thing is, we have to understand where are the costs are being passed on to us through these mortgage holders, whether that is the landlord, an individual landlord, or one of those company landlords. And so when the property taxes go up 3.9%, that really is a tax increase for me. And so as our rent goes up 3.9%, as our food goes up 5 to 10%, listen, we are fucked 100%. So you know, I think that there is needs to be some type of mechanisms that we can use to make sure that we are being treated fairly and it's as simple as that. So but when we get back, we're going to talk about some people who are being treated unfairly and what you can do to make sure that you don't end up as one of those people. We're going to switch it up. We're going to listen to a little Yukimi, Break Me Down, and Little Dragon. When we get back, we're going to talk about a midwife, but a fake one.
so simply by the way I feel. Don't put me in a box with the facts you steal. As I break through the wall, as I scream in a hall, as I stand at the top of a peak with the sun in my hands. Listen, nothing's gonna break me down. Nothing's gonna shake, no one's gonna break me. Nothing's gonna take me now, take me now.
Grandma, we made Coachella. We still flew coast with the culture, feeling the fella. Shit, Stella, grew back with another. Then my brother, you would've loved him. Dick Grammy, we made it to the Grammys. I took my daddy, good to see him happy. Black suit, gold tooth, gold shoes. That nigga so cool. Did I say that I moved from the shy? Took a plane to the west side. That's how them niggas talk. LA safe, I can walk. I get way more done when I'm not running drama. I get way more commas, but I miss my mama, so I roll up the frontal. Dirt nana, still addicted to nana. I get in the water, drive by, shoot up the water. We lost another, he a murderer. You motherfucker, unlock the trucker. The niggas don't follow dreams, these niggas just follow tweets. The niggas just follow me. No nigga running your bed, no mask off, no Halloween. No nigga that keep that pack coming straight from the Medellin. Italian diamonds, they shining, go bada bling. Bada blah, we always causing a scene. Anything, we turn into terror team.
Different is different now. Different like different town. Different smoke, they talk loud. Different when we come around. Make me no difference now. Distance hit different wild. This shit hit different wild. Different, different.
Friend, friend, friend. Met a little thing out of New Orleans. Popped a little ex, talked about her ex wall. I don't like that, get straight to the sex wall. Damn, 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 you should've seen it how she did it with no hands. Thought the country shit was funny, kept playing, playing, playing. And I was laughing right with it like, hey, hey, hey. It wasn't even the plan, plan, plan. I was supposed to get about it, there my plan.
Different is different now. Different like different town. Different smoke, they talk loud. Different when we come around. Make me no difference now. Distance hit different wild. This shit hit different wild. Different, different.
still on your feet. Trying to make ends meet. So let me treat. Sometimes you need to eat. Reserve us the best two seats. 8 o'clock's when we'll meet. She had Uncle Phil agree.
Back at Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR.ca. I'm your host, Issa Arian. Listen, like I said, if you'd like to call in, talk about your favorite or least favorite Christmas gifts you've ever got, the number is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. So basically, this past week, one of the things that you've heard is, I think this is from a few years ago, but a woman who was pretending to be a nurse, and she is getting charged with 20 years. Well, there's someone who is going to join her. A self-described Vancouver Island childbirth activist is prohibited from serving as a midwife and facing lawsuits from the parents of a child who was allegedly injured during a botched home birth. Gloria LeMay has been banned for more than 2 decades from performing midwifery services. But according to BC Supreme Court lawsuit filed last week, the Duncan woman allegedly contracted with a Seamus couple in 2021 to act as their midwives or birth attendant, and now they are suing her. So one of the things is that, like, what you will notice about these two different women is that one woman has a mugshot and the other one has a sweet picture of her looking like a granny. Now, you can probably guess the differences between these two women. But the one thing is that one of them was going to jail and one of them is just being sued. Now, we always understand just kind of like how the racial dynamics kind of play within, you know, kind of penalties. And that is it's no secret why, you know, these things continue. And let's just kind of, you know, I know why y'all are here. So, like, why everybody's here? I don't even know why I'm waiting until, like, the last, you know, final act to talk about this. Because this is, you know, I think, I don't even know how to get this story started. But over the past week, what, you know, kind of, what our collective consciousness has been, you know, talking about, unless you are within like the Taylor Swift sphere, because I feel like we are living in two totally different, different worlds. So like the, basically there's one side of the world that I feel like is particularly here in Vancouver, which talks about Taylor Swift, the impact that she had over the weekend, you know, kind of everything that, you know, everything that she brought to the city, the economic development, you know, the hungry people she fed, blah, 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 blah. And then there is like this other side that is talking about Luigi Mangione, you know what I mean? And the CEO murder and this guy's alleged manifesto and just kind of everything that kind of went along with it. Because in the CBC, they talked about, like Yasmin Gaina and Michelle Gomez, they wrote an article that said Taylor Swift gave Vancouver and the world what we needed. The legacy of the Eras Tour will be the love and friendship fans have shown each other. I saw people on the seawall passing out bracelets and sharing bracelets with each other. And, you know, people were just geeked to see Taylor Swift. One woman on my improv team, she talked about how she wished she could have saw the tour more than once. You know, there's an article about, there's articles about how, you know, how the Eras Tour has a carbon footprint and what's a green Taylor Swift fan to do. And I'm just like, these are all things that I have never thought about one time. And then there's Luigi Mangione. So if you don't know, he's a suspect in the United Healthcare CEO murder case. He was found by a class trader in Altoona, Pennsylvania, which is like, I've actually been to Altoona, Pennsylvania. I know some people from Altoona, Pennsylvania. Altoona is a shithole. You know, for that person who worked at McDonald's who snitched on him, you know, I hope you think long and hard about this, because you're never getting that 60. First off, there was a $60,000 reward for information that led to the arrest of this shooter. If you were the person that snitched on there, you are never getting that 60 bands. You're never sniffing that 60 bands. You know how I know they're not going to sniff this? I told this to my friends yesterday. Listen, they're going to say that you aided in a, you know, false identification, you know, charge in Pennsylvania, and what you called in had nothing to do with the murder case. It was just coincidence. Listen, because I have seen this before. I have read these things. This is why, like, I have it also just feels too neat. Like, it's so hard to believe. So if you don't know what happened, I can't remember what day it was, but early in the morning, about 7 o'clock in the morning, the CEO of the United Healthcare, which made, I want to make sure that this is clear. United Healthcare, they made, let's see, net revenue. Let's see the revenue for the year. Last year, their net income, $23.14 billion. Billion with a B. Billion dollars. They had $371.6 billion in revenue. And $23.14 billion in net profit. That is what is cash that investors are taking home. That's insane. And so he was going to the shareholders meeting. The CEO is walking to the shareholders meeting. Suspect walks up behind him, shoots him, gets on a bike, goes in Central Park, changes clothes. You know, about 4 days later, is found in Altoona, Pennsylvania. Now, it's really hard for me to believe. Like, as I feel like I'm not like a part-time conspiracy theorist. Like, I feel like when we've talked about this over the years, especially when it comes up to COVID or when, you know, it's like I have been in conspiracies since pre-internet. Like, I feel like I'm pre-internet conspiracy. Like, I have been there. My older brothers, we were there. You know, like that. Like, before things were conspiracy. Like, I watched a documentary last week that talked about 1971. Maybe I talked about this last week on the show, but it was about COINTELPRO and how the FBI office was broken into and the documents were stolen and then shipped to a newspaper. And that's how we found out that the government, the FBI, was operating covert operations within the borders of the United States, assassinating American citizens, all documented with paperwork, and, you know, how they were getting the money funded, you know, how Iran-Contra was a part of this. Like, all of these things that we learned about the government dealings were learned from a break-in from the FBI. So we know that, like, these things are going on. It's not a conspiracy theory. But, like, if you understand and you believe, like, and you know the things that are true within the American history, then you start to just kind of see bullshit wherever it pops up. And it's like, not like the deep, I saw like a conspiracy theory where it's like these people were like, he was Facebook friends with this woman whose son is this person who's married to, it's like, that's all too much. But you don't need a conspiracy theory to know that these people made $23.14 billion and people would have some gripes against the healthcare system. So this person was supposed to be found with a manifesto in his pocket, you know, multiple passports, multiple IDs, you know, foreign currencies and cash, and was found in Altoona, Pennsylvania. Now, one thing you know about Altoona, Pennsylvania, is it's far as fuck from any international airports. It's far from really anything. And it just seems like an odd place and an odd way to found. Like, and if you read the manifesto, this doesn't read like somebody who is the valedictorian of Gilmore Prep, which is a school in Maryland. One of the schools that, like, people know the name of, Gilmore Prep in Maryland, and went to, I forget where we went to school. Went to Penn, you know, was the valedictorian of his high school, was an Ivy League graduate. And you read the manifesto, it reads like somebody who was just out here, you know, hoping and wishing, would write. It doesn't sound like a smart person wrote it. Now, just because you go to Ivy League and you're a valedictorian doesn't make you smart. But, like, I do have to assume that this person, at least, you know, the person who had a silenced gun, shot this person, got away, got out of New York City, got off of the island of Manhattan, would be able to do a little bit better than getting caught at McDonald's. So, like, I feel like whenever we get the Freedom of Information Act and this comes to light about how they actually found him, if he was indeed the one person who shot him, we won't know. But I'm almost guaranteed it's some nefarious activity. Anyways, like, I think one of the things that it kind of points out is that it speaks to kind of two things within our society. One, just how deeply broken we are kind of as a people, that, like, we have to root for, like, actual superheroes. You know what I mean? Like, that, like, we are hoping and wishing for a superhero to save us. Not like Luigi, superhero. This is not like Luigi from Super Mario Brothers. This is like a regular ass dude, a 26-year-old who just felt like, I just have had enough. which I can understand. Like, you know, there's a lot of people walking around these streets who have had enough. A lot of the violent crime, a lot of the drug use, a lot of the people who are most vulnerable every day are just people who've had enough of what this current system has put on them. Like, there are people out here who are really struggling every day. People out here who are, you know, seemingly make it happen. We hear and we see about these things all the time. There's people who have dream jobs, like Anthony Bourdain, like the people who we assume have got it all figured out. Absolutely do not. Like, there is a deep sadness within our culture. And so that when we see something like this happen, and you see kind of how many people are rooting for this, you're like, there's something wrong. Like, there's something wrong. There's something wrong kind of like with the collective. But at the same time, you know, you see healthcare companies, and this is United Health Group is just one company. That's just one company making $23.14 billion. And that's just one company. Yesterday, I was listening to a phone call, listening to an earnings call for private prison companies, and they're talking about how they expect over the next 4 years to double revenue, double net profit, and have the best 4 years in their history. They talk about this is what the company was built for, which, and this is in response to understanding how Donald Trump plans to collect people and ship people out of the United States. And they're going to need detention centers. They talked about hard detention centers, talked about building new prisons. And you think about, like, this is a sick society that we live in. These are the types of things in which we are building towards. We are building, we are building healthcare that bankrupts people, healthcare that doesn't help people get better. It focuses on how do you keep people sick so that you can keep getting money out of them. Focuses on healthcare that, you know, eliminates drugs for people, doesn't pay for drugs, makes people pay out of pocket and just struggle. We are ill-equipped to handle our elderly population. And as our biggest generation continues to get older and older, we are going to see that strain even more and more. And then we have private prisons who are geeked at the type of, the type of profits that they expect to make in the next coming years. And you just have to think that this is just the beginning of some shit that is not going away, because the things that whoever the shooter is felt in that moment, there are so many more people who also feel the same way. And so you have to think, like, okay, what are we doing as a society to make sure that this doesn't happen again, or that this doesn't need to happen again? And what are the protective things that we're putting in? Not like bulletproof glass for CEOs, but making sure that people feel protected and people feel that this isn't their only option. Because I don't want there to be, you know, millions of people who walk around who feel like this is their only option. But we have created a society where people feel stuck. You know, and they feel like there's no way out, and there's no way to kind of, there's no way to really build the type of infrastructure and the type of things that they need to see in their lifetime. And we're continuing to see that, you know, not just domestically within the United States, within Canada. Luckily, here, people have a little bit of sense, at least, that people need to be taken care of. But, we're seeing that, you know, in the States, whether that's, we've seen that internationally with kind of our United States foreign policy. We know that yesterday Syria fell, and, you know, and under no, you know, I don't know the U.S.'s involvement, but we know that the U.S. has been involved in Syria since 2011. We see what the United States has done to Libya. We see what they've done to the United States. I mean, we see what they've done to Syria. We've seen what Israel is doing to Palestine and to Lebanon. And Jordan and kind of like the other buffer zone, states around Israel. And we're just going to continue to see that the money is not going to where we want it to go. And so, like I said earlier, you know, I call upon you to read and listen to some Nikki Giovanni and read to listen to some, some former writers, revolutionaries and activists, because like Frantz Fanon said, like this is inevitable. You know, when you take away the humanity of people, there's only one real way for people to get their humanity back. And so you have to understand that we are pushing more people towards this path than we are towards a path of peace, right? So let's hope that it gets better, but that it's not going to get better until we make it get better. But like I said, listen, that's your Christmas gift from me to you. Listen, I do this every Tuesday, 10 to 11. I love it, and I hope that you all have a great new year and have a happy new year. I hope that you all stay positive, you stay reading, you stay listening, you stay in tune with your community, and make sure that you hugged your loved ones. If you have them, and if you don't have loved ones to hug, listen, you can come next Tuesday, 7:30 to Little Mountain Gallery, and I'll give you a hug. But this is Issa, and I'm out.